About a year ago, we had a study on how to deal with negative peer pressure. And we discussed how that peer pressure is something that affects not only the young, that's how it's often considered when we talk about peer pressure. We think about young people, teenagers, high school, college, that sort of thing. But we know that peer pressure doesn't just affect people of a young age. Peer pressure can affect those of us when we're in our middle age, we're going to work, affect us when we're dealing with our friends, with our neighbors. It can affect us when we're older age. These effects that outside influences can have on us is something we have to guard against, something we have to be prepared and aware of, to make sure that we're prepared to deal with those types of effects. But this afternoon, instead of discussing the need to be prepared against negative peer pressure and how to deal with it, I'd like to talk about how we can actually provide a positive influence for others. Here's the definition of peer pressure: social pressure by members of one's peer group to take a certain action, adopt certain values, or otherwise conform in order to be accepted. Peer pressure in many ways has become more and more ideological, as especially in the political landscape. It seems like ideology is taking hold very firmly. And our, not just young people in elementary school, middle school, high school, especially, though, as we get older, it seems, as we become more involved in what's going on around us, in our society, in our government, and so forth, we become more and more aware of how often people attempt to negatively impact or to shame others who have a mindset that is different than theirs. And so not only do we want to be prepared to be able to deal with negative peer pressure, how can we actually turn the tide? You know, the idea of the majority who have a mindset, therefore, if you don't match our mindset, well, you're not going to be a part of us. How can we fight back against that tide? How can we actually provide an influence that is positive against such a negative force? It may seem like it would be impossible, because we think in terms of numbers. We think, oh, there's, you know, five of these people, of my, you know, acquaintances or my friends, and they think this, and they want me to go along with it. How am I supposed to fight that? Well, that's what we want to talk about this afternoon. And the first thing we want to talk about is actually being careful in who you call your friends. And this applies not only to our young people. I want to emphasize this. A lot of times, lessons and sermons and so forth on peer pressure, there are times where the older of us, older members, sometimes maybe we think that that's more for our younger people. This is as much for us as it is for anyone else. And it's important to understand that who we allow into our inner circle of influence is extremely important. In Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse 26, Solomon says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 14, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness?" 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is an important element to understand within its context, dealing with aspects of which the Corinthians were allowing false teachers and these super apostles that they call, as they called them, the idea of allowing these pressures to change the beliefs of the Corinthians. And Paul was condemning that. That's why he says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever." Well, what's the unequalness about it? This unbeliever is having an undue negative influence on you. You don't have to let it. But they were letting it. They were allowing negative influence to affect them. But they have control over that. We can't stop being surrounded by people who commit sin and by people who may be negative influences. We have to go to work. We have to go to school. We have to go to Walmart. We have to go to the gas station. We have to go places we got to go. And that being the case, we're going to face these things whether we want to or not. The question is, how do we promote positive influence in the face of this? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 33, a passage that often gets immediately... one time years ago, I was teaching a teenage class and I went to this verse. It was actually, the whole point of the class was about the value of context. But I went to verse 33 and I read, "Do not be deceived. Evil communication corrupts good morals," or as the New King James says, "Evil company corrupts good habits." And I asked the teenagers, what is Paul saying here? And their immediate response was, "Be careful how you choose your friends." All right? That's not what Paul's saying here. Paul's dealing with false teachers who were teaching the brethren in Corinth that the dead are not raised. But the application of the principle was that evil communications, evil company, whether it's false teachers who are trying to teach you something that is not of God, and you're allowing them to tell you this over and over again, or perhaps it's the evil influence of people I allow close to me. That's the application of what Paul says. It's the application of the principle. It's actually the third step down the road where we get to the point of applying it to being careful how we choose our friends. But it does apply. But note, it's the key component here. Evil communications or evil company corrupts good habits, good morals, the recognition I know what's good, but then I allow this influence to affect me. Well, how do I deal with that? How do I actually promote a positive influence with it? Well, one of the things that we can do is, first of all, recognize there's a difference between a friend and an acquaintance. And there is a difference. An acquaintance is someone that we may see on a daily basis, someone we may talk to, someone we're friendly with, someone that we are polite with, but it's not someone we allow to influence us beyond any passing notion. There's no lasting, lingering influence. Whereas someone that is a friend is someone we allow close to us. Their thoughts mean something to us. Their opinions about us mean something to us. That's the difference between a friend and an acquaintance. A friend, we value what they think of me. And what they think of me matters. So be careful who you allow to have that type of status in your mind. And then when it comes to the acquaintances, when it comes to the people around us, make sure that you're maintaining the understanding, maintaining this recognition that I have to do what God wants me to do, regardless of what these people may think of me by doing it. That means a balance has to be maintained. There is a balance, a very careful balance that we have to recognize. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and in verse 9, where Paul is writing regarding the brother who has his father's wife, the Corinthians were glorying in it. And in verse 9, Paul says, "I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. But I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world." Verse 11, here's who I was talking about, anyone named a brother. Paul's point here, verse 10, is you can't just kind of take yourself out of the world, put yourself up on a mountain somewhere, and just stay away from everything. In fact, when we consider and factor in Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus tells the multitude, "You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." the salt of the earth. The idea of not only are you to be holy, let your light so shine before men. Allow that light to actually have a positive influence on others. When Paul says, you can't take yourselves out of the world. In fact, you need to be in the world. In order to have a positive influence, you have to be around those who need a positive influence. But you are in the world. Be careful you don't become of the world. In James chapter 4 and in verse 4, as James condemns those to whom he's writing, he says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? This is the friendship that we're talking about. Not just acquaintances, not people that maybe you think are nice people, people that you like to be with at work or whatever. We're talking about friendship that contains a relationship that affects each other, so much so that the world is affecting you. That's what James is describing, verse 4. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity, hostility, and thus separation? That's what enmity is. It is hostility from me towards God, thus creating separation. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. This is the idea of allowing that influence, that negative influence, to override a positive influence. And the point that James wants to make to these individuals, and of course it's in a broader context of describing to them why things aren't going the way they want it to, why they don't get what they ask for. He calls on them to cleanse their hands. And the whole point being, you need to submit, be humble, and trust in God. Do not allow yourself to be unequally yoked, Paul said. That fits perfectly in James's point here in James chapter 4. These brethren had allowed themselves to become unequally yoked with the world. They were friends with the world. And all the sin that accompanies that, the evil influence that accompanies that, they were compromised. This is the warning against negative pressure, peer pressure, but also the recognition of the balance for positive peer pressure or positive influence. To recognize that when Jesus says, let your light so shine before men, that means I'm not afraid to let that light shine. That means I'm not afraid to stand up as someone who stands for God's word and wants to do what's right. Not someone who's boasting of themselves. Not someone who's standing out saying, hey, I'm holier than you. People will accuse Christians of that. We have to make sure we maintain the proper attitude when we do it. So how can I provide a positive influence while not being affected by negative influence? How can I avoid the unequally yoked part of what Paul condemned the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 6? The activities that our friends, that our neighbors, our co-workers may enjoy, we need to stand up against that are sinful. For instance, vulgar and profane jokes that's laced with colorful metaphors, shall we say. Language that is used that is worldly, that is promoting sin, that promotes temptation. Don't engage in that type of behavior. Because when we engage in that type of behavior, whether that individual knows we're a Christian or not, it is a silent approval of that type of language and of that type of jesting and joking and so forth. The type of activities that our neighbors or our co-workers, our friends may engage, friends, acquaintances may engage in on the weekends, going to the bars, getting drunk, staying the night out with other people, the idea of these influences, when we, even if we're silent, we don't say anything about it, we just stay silent, that can be misconstrued as approval as well. It can be difficult. It can wind up causing people to be making fun of us and laughing at us and considering us old-fashioned or whatever. But you know what? It's important that we don't approve by silence. That's the assumption. When somebody is talking about something that is sinful in an approving way and I'm quiet, they take from that I'm okay with it. The best way to handle that type of a situation, the best way to be able to let the light shine, is to very diplomatically, certainly, as best we can, attempt to explain to that individual, I don't engage in that type of thing. You know, the way I read the Bible says this, and I want to do what God wants me to do. Some effect of that. And at the very least, they know at that point that you're not approving of what they're doing. Maybe they don't care. Maybe they don't want to talk to you anymore. Whatever. But in the end, we're not allowing that evil influence to override a positive influence. And you never know what type of seed you may plant. How far that light might just shine in darkness. In your conversations, one of the ways, and this helps us to guard ourselves as well. When we're in everyday conversation, you know what? Mention the fact that you went to church on Sunday. Maybe talk about something that you read in Bible class, or a point that was made in the sermon, or some aspect of a hymn, maybe. Mention the Bible. Mention maybe something that you read on your own during the week. Maybe mention just in general something about God or about Jesus or whatever. It's amazing what you learn by people's reactions when you say things like that. I think it's interesting. There's a lady over here at Walgreens. She's gotten to know my face. She doesn't know my name yet, but she knows my face every time I walk in. But every time she checks somebody out, she says, God bless you. God bless you. And she says it sincerely, and I've yet to see anyone get mad at her or get angry at her or anything else. But that always registers in my mind. That every time she's at the checkout, she says, God bless you. And I appreciate that. I like that. And it's an example of how sometimes you can tell by how a person speaks or how a person doesn't speak that they might just be religious. They might have appreciation in some form or fashion of the Bible and of what God wants from us. Well, that same type of an influence, that same type of thought process works for us as well. Even if it's when we're shaking somebody's hand and telling them goodbye, you know, God bless you. Or talking about, like I said, talking about what we may have learned at church or inviting someone to worship. Not only does it promote a positive influence on others, but it reminds us of the proper perspective to have and the proper attitude to have throughout our day. And this is one of the things that helps us to be able to have a positive influence, a light that is shining so brightly that you never know what kind of effect it may have on another. And make sure those people who are close to you, those people at work, those people at school, people in the neighborhood, people wherever that you, these are people you associate with, you enjoy associating with, even outside of daily activity, like maybe outside of school and outside of work. These are people you value. If these are people you value, that means that you value their opinion. You value how they think. You value their character in some way. There's something you have in common together. That's why you're friends. If that's the case, let's make sure that our friends are aware of who we are and what we believe. Because that road of influence works two ways. Yeah, if we allow people with negative influence into that inner circle within our minds and hearts, that can have an undue effect on us. But it can work the exact opposite. When we have a positive influence on those around us, and we're not afraid to share it. We're not afraid to share what we believe in. Don't let non-acceptance bother you. This might be one of the biggest problems in our society today, is the fear of non-acceptance. Everybody has to be accepted. Everybody has to be the same in order to be accepted. Everybody has to think the same way in order to be accepted. And people who are different are ridiculed. People who don't think the same way are kind of thrown out, thrown under the bus. See you later. We don't care about you anymore. Don't be afraid of non-acceptance. Jesus himself said, if the world hates you, in Matthew 5, don't be amazed. World hate me. Bless those who persecute you. In the end, Jesus himself acknowledged, you're not going to be accepted. That's the bottom line. The majority of the time, people aren't going to like what you stand for, the way you think, or what you say and teach, whether it's by words or by your example. That's the way it is. Don't let that bother you. And remember that you have someone, as Solomon said, who is closer than a friend. And that's Jesus. That's Jehovah. We don't need the acceptance of others. We need the approval of God. And when we have that, what difference does it make if I have the approval of other people? In Titus chapter 2 and in verse 7, Titus chapter 2 and in verse 7, Paul writes to Titus and tells him, in all things show yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. As Paul writes to Titus, who, like Timothy, was a young preacher, teaching the word, he tells Titus, show yourself to be a pattern, he says, of good works in doctrine. We talked this morning, that's teaching, showing integrity and reverence and incorruptibility. But notice how the two go hand in hand. The pattern of good works, and then in teaching, the integrity and reverence and incorruptibility and the sound speech. It's not just integrity and incorruptibility in what he teaches, but also in how he applies it in his own life. That's what Paul's emphasizing, the application in his own life as much as he is what Titus is teaching. And that goes to recognizing that consistency and integrity are crucial for you and for me in order to let our light shine. One of the quickest ways to snuff that light out is to not be consistent. Or to be, lack of consistency also lends itself to hypocrisy. Because if I'm not consistently applying God's word, it's very easy to allow a dissociation between one thing and another where I condemn this, but I don't condemn that. This happens in the religious world all the time. Picketing and marching against homosexuality, but fornication and adultery, we don't make a big deal about that. It's all the same. Sin is sin. And it's important that we are consistent in the application of God's word in our life. Because when we aren't consistent, people notice. Having integrity, maintaining the same standard, the way God has established it for everything, is crucial. And recognize there are going to be sometimes that friends, even the people that we value, the people that we care about, the people whose opinions matter to us, and people maybe that we really, truly, really love. Sometimes they're not going to respond well to something you say, something you do, some example of yours. There are going to be times where they may not respond well. And we have to be careful that we don't allow our emotional relationship attachment to this individual, because they react badly by something we say or do, that we don't allow that to have an undue effect on us. That we maintain the intensity of the light that we are to be shining around us. In John chapter 3 and in verse 19, Jesus says, "This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." The reason we bring this out under this application is to realize that sometimes our light may be shining in another person's life, not so much as like sunshine. Sometimes it may be a spotlight. And you may go through this time, period of time with this friend, with this individual that we care about, maybe somebody we grew up with, and throughout our time together, it's like this spotlight. And there's nothing here, nothing there, nothing there. But all of a sudden, at some point, something that is said or something that is done, the spotlight lands on something that that individual really doesn't like to be condemned. They don't appreciate the fact that something you said or did acknowledged in some way that what they're doing is wrong. And it's within this context that Jesus acknowledges this is why the light is hated. This is why people reject the light, because they love darkness rather than light. We hope that our friends, our colleagues, acquaintances would be receptive, at least respectful, to have a dialogue, to have a conversation. By the end of it, if they don't want to listen to us, that's okay. We can part and we can still be amicable. We can still be polite. You know, we don't have to be mean to each other. But you know what? Jesus says that there are times where, because men don't want their deeds exposed, they would rather try to snuff out your light rather than clean up whatever is evil in theirs. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 3, Peter says, "We have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you don't run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." When Peter describes the change that takes place in a Christian's life, how that Christian has the mindset, that the same mindset, verse 1, that was in Christ Jesus, to not sin, that can bring about persecution. That can bring about negative reactions from others. In regard to these, they think it's strange. People who used to be your friends, people who used to be people who valued you, not just people you valued, but who valued you too, they're confused. They don't understand. Well, what changed? And instead of listening to you talk to them about why you changed, instead, they speak evil of you. And notice that term, dissipation, the same flood of dissipation. Some translations have of riotousness, riot living. Strong's defines that term dissipation as unsaved conduct or character. Unsavedness. They speak evil of you because by your changing your life, by your no longer doing what it was you were doing, you're condemning them automatically. And sometimes that might be the hardest thing for you and for me to deal with. Maybe behaviors that we've come to tolerate, ways of speaking that we've come to kind of just go along with the flow with, and people that have been our friends maybe for 20, 30 years. And we just, you know, people know what we believe and so forth. We just don't, make a big deal about it. We don't stand up against the flood. Sometimes it's difficult to all of a sudden say, hey, you know, I really don't appreciate or I don't enjoy listening to this type of language all the time. Can we try to kind of not talk like that? Well, you've been okay with it for 15 years. Now all of a sudden it's a problem? It's important to be able to stop the flow of evil influence. And just by standing up against that flow can be a positive influence. Yeah, I'm trying to better myself. I'm trying to think better. I'm trying to have a better thought process and trying to serve God and so forth. And I'm trying to eliminate sources of foul language, sources of vulgarity, whatever. But let it focus on you first. I want to make sure that I'm doing the best I can to serve God and to be a good influence around me. And I'm just, you know, I'm asking you if you'll help me with this. Some people might be okay with that. People who care about you will be okay with that. But people who don't like the fact that by implication you're condemning them, they're not going to like it. So how can I provide a positive influence for people around me? Be wise. Be wise in the recognition that a balance has to be maintained. You're in the world, but you cannot be of the world. That requires, that walking that line every day requires wisdom. Choosing who you allow into your inner circle requires wisdom. Awareness. Be aware of yourself. Be aware, there's a reason why Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 5 to walk circumspect. And in that context, he describes, do not be fools, but be wise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. Be aware, not only of evil influence, but be aware of opportunities to provide positive influence. Sometimes we as Christians, we can get so caught up on the things that we don't do that we forget that good works isn't the absence of evil ones. Good works, yes, is the absence of evil works, but it is also the promoting of good works. And being aware helps us to put that in effect in our lives. Be consistent. Make sure that in judgments on sin and not sin, in terms of what God says and recognizing how we treat scenarios in life and how we treat circumstances and how we treat what people say, that we are consistent in that process and that we treat sin exactly the same, because all sin is the same. And be patient. One of the hardest things we can do is when somebody, it's hard enough to be patient with somebody we don't even know or don't really have any particular relationship with. They mock us, or they laugh at us, or you know, try to some way shame us. It's not as difficult to be, you know, patient with somebody like that. But it's a whole different story when it's somebody close to us. Somebody we care about. Somebody we love, maybe. Someone we've allowed into our heart and our mind whose opinion we care so much about that when they have a problem with something that we've said or done that was right, some way, some example that we've done that was good. But it caused an issue for them because they realized they weren't doing what was right. Be patient, because people, especially when it comes to emotional attachments, the first thing that goes so often is patience. Understanding. Sometimes people are going to react emotions first. And I would say odds are if they're in the world and they're of the world, they are going to react emotions first. For whatever reason, the brain doesn't catch up until a little bit later, maybe a day later, sometimes more. Be patient and stay steadfast in providing the positive influence around you. And if people don't want to be around you because of your positive influence, guess what? They didn't want to be around Jesus either. That's the lesson for you this afternoon. Hope it's something beneficial for us to consider. Again, not just because this applies to people in middle school, elementary school, high school, or young people in college, or young people in general for that matter. This applies to every single one of us. No matter what our age, no matter what our gender, this applies to all of us. We can be a positive influence for good. Let's make sure that we're putting forth the effort to do that every day. We offer an invitation to those who are not Christians to become a Christian, to have your sins washed away, be added to the body of Christ, and embark on a life of shining, allowing your light to shine to others. That light being Christ living in you. Those of us who are Christians, there are times where maybe that light dims. And maybe there are even times where we're tempted to allow that light to be completely put out. Those are the times we need our brethren to encourage us, to lift us up. Maybe that light is dimming because we're not as motivated as we once were. Maybe it's dimming because we have sin in our own lives. Whatever the case, your brethren, there's a reason why we call them brethren, brothers and sisters. It's a family. Families help each other. Families take care of each other. Families want to make things right for each other. Will you let us do that for you today? The invitation is extended. If you're subject, please come forward as we stand and sing.